So I ask you this morning to use your imagination. Imagine being asked to do a job that would be your lifelong work. Now, the job entails working very long hours every day, 6 days a week, and that the job had to be done without making any mistakes. It was a meticulous job. Everything had to be done perfectly at the right time. And that from the beginning of that day until evening, you will be on your feet, literally all day. You're not allowed to sit down. And that your job was absolutely essential for every single person in the community. And yet, after doing that job, it didn't accomplish anything, except it kept everyone alive. And that you were to do this job for the rest of your life. Your feet are going to be calloused. Your arms are going to be sore and hurting. You're going to be standing in blood all day long, 6 days a week. And that what you want after a very long day of work, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you sometimes dream about it, but it's not permitted, is to sit down. But you're not allowed. This will be your lifelong work. Oh, and by the way, there is no retirement. That was the job of a priest. Hebrews 10 and verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And so the Hebrew writer, as we've noticed, is encouraging Christians, some who are absolutely exhausted and wore down by life, to say, please don't go back, because some of the Hebrew Christians were deciding, you know, I think I want to go back to that old system. The Hebrew writer reminds them, don't even think about going back, especially since Jesus offers a sacrifice only once. And once was enough, and it's to cover all sins of our life. So why, oh why, would we ever want to go back to that way of living? And I think exhaustion had something to do with it. But in Hebrews 10, verses 11 and 12, here's what he says. Day after day, every high priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Priests were never permitted to sit. Jesus sits. I always wondered about that passage in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, right from the very beginning, where it says that Jesus, who created all things, and when he was accomplished, he sat down at the right hand of God. I always wondered what that meant. And really what it meant was, he offered himself as a sacrifice, and that's it. His work was accomplished. His work was finished for all people of all time. So even when we get exhausted, never forget who Jesus is and what he did for us and what he does for us even today. So there are a couple of scriptures that I wanted to notice just today from Hebrews chapter 10. And if you want to look, Hebrews 10, 32 through 35. He's asking them to remember what they endured and not to throw away their confidence that they had at one time. Here's what he says. Remember those earlier days after you received the light? Stop. So for those of you, those of us who can remember our baptism or remember the first time we had communion, can you remember what that felt like? Do you remember taking communion for the very first time? Even though you saw other people taking communion, maybe every week, maybe every month, maybe every year, and you never did, and you took communion for the first time. This is representing the body of Jesus. He sacrificed once for me, once for all people, but I'm included in this. We're all included in this. So we take this little cracker, it represents, he is our sacrifice. I, as a believer, I don't have to stand up and sacrifice animals all day long and it accomplishes nothing anyway. He did it for me, and so I'm taking this communion. Or when I drink that little juice or wine, it's the shed blood of Jesus, the sacrifice. Or when you were baptized, what that was like. A little scary, a little frightening. What happens next? What do I do now? Somehow you just knew there was this connection with God, the Father, and God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. And even you may not have known all of that, but everything was just so overwhelming and yet so wonderful that God would let me be part of this. And so our life begins in Christ. And then things happen. And there's difficulties and there's struggles. But because we're a vibrant Christian, that's okay. We're going to hang in there. But you know, month after month, year after year, pretty soon in life, you can get beat down, wore down, and exhausted. You wonder, I just don't know where I'm at. And so the Hebrew writer is reminding us of these things, beginning in verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering? Probably not too many of us had to deal with that. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So, do not throw away that confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You're not alone. But there's something else in this chapter that just rings in my ears. It's verse 39, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. We are not of those who shrink back. So there are times in life where intellectually we're surviving, emotionally we do well, spiritually we're connected, and physically we're hanging in there. But there are other times in life where the word shrink really does make sense. And maybe the Hebrew people were feeling this way. They were wore down and wore out. Have you ever been there? Where you're so physically exhausted and emotionally exhausted that you get your laughter and your sad tears mixed up. Nothing makes sense. You just need to sleep and you can't. You're physically exhausted. You're emotionally exhausted. You're intellectually exhausted. Nothing's making any sense. You're wore out. Spiritually, you're wore out, and you just know you need to pray, but nothing happens. You feel like you have no feeling. It happens to us sometimes in life. And have you ever got the feeling where all of a sudden, because you're so tired intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually, that you really feel like you're shrinking? You're completely disappearing. And you don't know what to do. And some wonderful person who means well puts her arm around you and says, snap out of it. Offer a prayer. Everything's going to be okay. And you smile. And after they leave, you're in tears because they just don't understand. Now, what I've just said, some of us may not understand. Others of us get it well. Sometimes you can be so wore down in life that you feel like you're going to disappear. But what the Hebrew writer is saying is, he gets that. He understands that. And so there are a couple of verses that I think are very encouraging. They're verses 24 and 25 in this letter. Here's what he says. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. This is not a criticism. This is not when you're at your lowest point, someone comes along and says, you better do this, dude. That's the last thing we need to hear. What he's saying is when we feel like we're shrinking and disappearing in all aspects of life, we can encourage each other. We can come along and sit beside one another. And when someone says, I just need to pray and I can't, this is where we say, okay, I'll pray for you. But I know I need to love people, but I just feel so small inside that I can't even think of emotions. That's okay. I'll love you up. I'll be here with you. However long it takes, I'm going to be here with you. The Hebrew writer is saying, don't think that going back into a system that never made any sense is going to make life better. It will not. You have survived by doing so many wonderful things for God, and yes, you are wore out. It is not a sin to be exhausted. It is not a bad thing to be wore down. It's a good thing when Christians can come alongside other Christians and just hold them. Just love them. I'll be who you need me to be. I'll walk with you. It's not that Hebrews have lost their faith. It's that they've shrunk. They're in the process of shrinking. And the Hebrew writer is encouraging them these words. When you feel like you are all alone, you're not. We'll pray for you. And sometimes, and I know it's true in this congregation, I know it's true with our elders, and I know it's true with so many people, you may not even know it, but there are people who pray for you every week, sometimes every day, without ever communicating, praying for you, encouraging. So this letter is really a profound letter, because what they were thinking was, let's go back to this old system that didn't even include Jesus at all. And do you remember what Jesus says? Come to me, all of you who are, what? Weary. There's tired and there's weariness. And there's exhaustion. Come to me, all of you who can't even think straight. Come to me, all of you who are so tired that you just need to sleep, but you can't. Come to me, all of you who are spiritually exhausted and you just need to pray, but you can't. Come to me, all of you. I will give you rest. Sometimes when we're at our lowest point, this is where God works best. And other Christians do too. coming together and putting our arms around one another. To me, it's always been amazing. I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but I think for many of us, we've lost loved ones who are so near and dear and encouraging to us. And some of those people who passed away years ago. But can't you sometimes just feel their presence? Can you sometimes just hear their words? Sometimes you can hear their laughter. And sometimes, all of a sudden, they just pop into our heart. I don't know, that's just us doing it. I kind of feel like it's what the Bible says. You're never alone. Because we do not live only for ourselves, but for the next generation. Some of us have children and grandchildren. Some have great-grandchildren. We want to be there for them. Even when we're not alive anymore. We want to leave memories, but we want to leave words. We want to read loud. We want to say we're going to be praying for you forever. And we will see you again. So don't disappear. Don't shrink away. We're here for you. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. Because he says in verse 26, and again, I thought this was very critical at first, but the more I think of it, I think he's encouraging them forward. He says in verse 26, if we deliberately keep on sinning, I think what he's saying by that is, if you want to just do your own thing, your own way, and forget about Jesus, it's like going back to being that priest, sacrificing all day long and getting nowhere. So what he's saying is, don't create that sin of pulling away from Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be with me. And that's where he whispers, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never. Never. It's a beautiful book of, you may feel like you're shrinking, but God and all the saints and all of us, we have our arms around one another. The Hebrew writer reminds us that Christ is enough, and that when we feel the way we feel, just give it to him who knows it anyway, and let his arms be around us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful book of Hebrews, reminding tired, exhausted, wore out Christians, that they're not alone, that your arms are always around us, and that when we see others who are hurting and lonely, who are physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually exhausted, that we can think for them, we can pray with them and for them, we can love them, and physically, we can help them. Thank you for being enough and more than enough. And may we always rely on you for all things. And through Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.